All right, people made some time this morning to call in and weigh in. Let's get right to it. Ken in Carlton, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. First off, I want to say I agree with John. I don't think they're going to trade him. But there's also a lot of layers to this. And what is the haul? What are you getting? And if it, you know, you could pit L.A. and Baltimore against each other and up the ante a little bit more. And, I mean, if it's a no-brainer, you get four or five guys to fill out your minor, soon-to-be major league roster. If three out of five hit and you end up with the same payroll in 2 years, because you're going to have to pay Scooble in a couple years. Mm-hmm. And it's part of it is whether he's going to be here, you know, whether he wants to be here, and how much money is he going to want, and what's his health going to be like in 2 years. I mean, everybody compares him to Scherzer and Ryan. Well, those guys all got traded, too, because they wanted too much money. So, you know, it's a business at the end of the day. So if you can fill out your roster, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't listen. You know, like I said, I don't think anybody's going to pony up enough to, you know, pique their interest enough to pull the trigger. But if it's a no-brainer, it's a no-brainer. You know, I mean, sometimes you got to say yes, you know, even though you don't feel like it.
Right. You're holding the ultimate gem. And you need to be listening to all offers. And if you have a certain value on Tarek Skubal and nobody matches it, you don't have to trade him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a win-win. There's really no downside to it unless he gets hurt.
Which is something John's talked about a little bit today. And it is, listen, pitching's violent. These arm injuries aren't like, hey, you're out for a couple weeks. It ends up being a year plus if it's worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. You have to factor it in. And when you pay this guy in a long-term deal, you're going to be paying him into his 30s. But we've seen pitchers. I use the Chris Sale example. Yeah. The guy's an all-star at 35 right now. And he's one of the filthy lefties in the game. And I think Skubal, there's a little bit of a comp there that he's entering into that era where he will be dominant for years. If you think you can compete the next couple years, that's part of this. They're waiting for a foundation before they spend. The foundation, you could argue, is pitching. You're going to give from your pitching to reset with prospects in the minors. I would much rather keep the pitching, spend on some hitting, continue the Harris High School plan in the background, and try to win while developing some of these young hitters, as opposed to hitting the hard reset again when we've seen this team could be even... This team could be in the playoff race if they had a couple bats, and you could go pay a couple bats and get a couple proven mercenaries to help put this team over the top while you're anchored by good pitching and while you develop your young hitters throughout the minors. I'd like to see them go with that path as opposed to trade Skubal for three lottery tickets and we'll see you in 26. That doesn't seem like the right way to do this.
Well, there's a lot of different paths, and people are going to disagree on, first of all, the path to the trade deadline. Is it just Jack Flaherty? Is it Skubal? Is it, you know, and some other, you know, insignificant pieces? Or is it nobody? You're not a buyer, but maybe you don't move Skubal because you believe in the offseason you're going to make some additions. You, instead of moving Flaherty, you extend him because in the offseason you believe you are going to make some additions in terms of offense and positional players. If that's the case, then you keep your pitching staff together. You keep building on it because at some point, I mean, can you imagine it's Jack Flaherty, Tarek Skubal, Jackson Job, and then you fill in with Reese Olson and Montero. Like, okay, you could start seeing an unbelievable rotation, which would be great, but you have to have some offense that goes along with it.
Let's get back to the phones. Kevin and McComb, you're on 97.1.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, look, the Orioles, I'm not like a pack of poodle. I don't know everything about, you know, all the prospects right now, but if you look at Baseball America, the Orioles' top four prospects would basically be probably a number one or a number two in any other farm system.
Yeah.
I truly do believe that, you know, you were mentioning how he'd be butthurt if we lost Tarek Skubal, but it's like, how many other teams have a true ace? You know, there's not many other Tarek Skubals in the league. I feel a lot of teams, you know, like with the Twins, that Pablo Lopez, he's supposed to be pretty good, but he's not doing that great this year. A lot of teams just put together the pitching. The Dodgers are a great team. Glasnow's probably the top guy, but he's not that impressive. I would say, you know, my thing is for the Tigers, if they're willing to give up maybe like a Kobe Mayo or a Jordan Westberg who's already established himself, along with a Sam Basalo and maybe some other pieces, I would definitely do it. Because the thing is yeah, we got Cy Young. Job in the minors is killing it. Mm-hmm. What the producer said is very accurate. He's very similar to what they're saying his schemes might be, mm-hmm. which would be amazing. But as far as hitting, I mean, Jace Young is supposedly a good hitter, but he's, like, deplorable at fielding the ball.
Yeah.
So if Jace Young's our closest batter, and then, we have this guy named Kevin McGonigal, our best bet is Max Clark, and he's not coming anywhere near us till 2027. And, I mean, I'm sorry, but our GM has basically been showing us the writing's on the wall for he's in no rush. We are... I mean,
if that's true,
mad at them.
Yeah, if it's
true, I'm not mad at them for drafting a shortstop,
no.
a high school shortstop.
No,
but,
I don't either.
You know,
I don't fault them. If you're right, Kevin, and again, if we're to believe the most logical, obvious conclusion that this team is in no rush, no hurry, no urgency, there won't be a big spend this offseason. They are waiting until McGonigal and Clark and maybe even the shortstop they just drafted to make their major league debuts and get established, then it doesn't fit the Tarek Skubal timeline, and then you do trade him.
You know what I'd love to see them do is just flirt with this or it come out later that there was no trade, but the Tigers asked for Holiday and the Orioles said no or something like that. Just because my belief is the only thing I differ with the caller on is that it has to start with Holiday. It just does right now because you're getting 2.5 years control. And if I'm going to give you one of the best pitchers in baseball, you're going to give me your number one prospect, okay? Because I'm the one taking the risk. The thing is if I almost would shy away from Holiday. If the Orioles say no now, then I wouldn't do it at the winter meetings if they came back to me or something and tried to do it. You know why? Because what changed their mind?
Right.
And so that's why you draw the line right now. Let me ask you guys this. And my answer is no, but if the Tigers ended up trading for, let's say the Tigers just held them ransom and they created this market up to the deadline and they got their top three prospects, the Orioles. The Orioles decide, we're going all in. We got an ace for two more years after this year. You know the story.
They could pair the guys who are the two best pitchers in the American League, Burns and Skubal, together to chase a World Series with their young hitters. Sure, I get why they would want to do it.
It's a win-win trade for both teams. We don't care what we're giving up because we're going for a championship. You would end up with a Holiday number one prospect, Clark 10th, Job 11th, 12 is Basalo, and 15 is Mayo.
So five of the top
15 prospects in baseball right now you would have, and three of them would be on the team next year, or should be at least, mm-hmm. Holiday, Mayo, and Job. And then you also package that with Green, who's here and is an all-star, and then you've got potentially with, Keith, obviously.
You have a foundation. Then.
And maybe.
Gary Carpenter.
Maybe Meadows. Maybe.
Sure.
Like,
you have a foundation.
Would you do it? July 30th.
You get all three.
It's on the table at 3:59. You're getting their three prospects. Are you doing it?
At this point, I would.
At this point, I would, too, based on what I know about Scott Harris. What's interesting is we got a ticket texter that says, what would Dombrowski do? And you know what Dombrowski would say? No. Dombrowski would say, I'm keeping the proven major leaguers. You keep your lottery tickets. Dombrowski's a guy who's architect the Tigers, two-way World Series, Red Sox to a World Series win, and maybe the Phillies to another World Series win here shortly.
But he would also be the guy that could convince whoever it is that is telling, you know, or he would make it so that you could sell to ownership, we have to go get this free agent. Have to go get this guy and pay these individuals.
He'd be fascinated to ask because I would just love to ask him, would you trade Job? You know what? He never traded JV.
Right. He loved power arms.
Yep.
He loved the power arms.
He did trade other highly rated prospects but he never gave up JV.
Skubal's going to pitch tonight, albeit he will not start the All-Star game. That's how we got into this conversation. And, of course, the latest trade rumors, the Orioles and the Dodgers gearing up to put together a treasure trove of prospects to offer the Tigers. It is not clear that Scott Harris is interested in trading Tarek Skubal. Coming up next, College Football 25, the early reviews. Are you excited about this game? We want to know if it met your expectations, whether you got some plans later this week, if this is the game to bring you back to gaming. It's 97.1. Yesterday was the day. Today may be the day for you, or maybe you're holding out for Friday when everybody else gets it. College Football 25 back. Early expectations, impressions. any issues you may have experienced so far. John, it's not going to come as a surprise to you. I dove in yesterday, and I have thoughts.
I'm just glad you showed up this morning. I did. I have no idea what you were doing yesterday. I know what you were probably doing last night, but it's probably the earliest I've ever gotten your prep. Some of that is we knew that the Home Run Derby was really the only thing going on last night.
Yeah, and we could fill in later.
Yeah, and but I got your prep, and I
you know
and
time, I, and you I go instantly, check right now what time it was sent, because it's very fitting.
Oh yeah,
I think it was sent at like 4:01 or something. The game earlier. Dropped at 4 p.m. yesterday.
Oh, I think it was even earlier than that. Yesterday, I got your email. Oh, 4:03.
Oh,
And the download began at what, 4?
Yep. Put the finishing touches, sent the prep email. We've had a good show today. And part of the show today is this game for people. And I think if you're someone who used to play, maybe it's the game that gets you back into playing some of these video games. The first thing I would tell you, it is not Madden-like. And that is a good thing. People are really upset at the way Madden is. The way it plays, the staleness of it. This is not Madden reskinned with college football teams. You don't get pulled into tackles. It's fluid. It's a completely different game. Visually, it's incredible. And it should be. Sights and sounds of college football. You get that. They've personalized celebrations and little quirks of each stadium. There's a lot of detail and thought that's been put into this game. If you're someone who is a big-time football video game person, I do think it's worth your time. If you're someone who just loves college football and used to play the game, I do think they've put enough love and care and attention into this game that it did live up to the expectations. Now, there's some things you're going to have to get used to. Kicking is rough right now. It's different than Madden. It's very different than a lot of the games out right now. They've got advanced passing, which is going to take some time to getting used to. Screens don't work as far as I've seen so far. Screenplays, I've yet to see one be successful. But by and large, those are minor things that you'll get used to. And I do
just
think
your offense.
Talk about people I've played with and against too. But it is, to me, a very, very good game. John, you've seen some people with some thoughts on this. The Twitch was blowing up earlier.
Well, the Twitch was all over this earlier. And it goes with everything that hasn't been available for 11 years. Obviously, technology has changed. There's a lot of things going on. The whole business of college football, because there's so much going on. And I think it's very interesting. I'm not going to play it. I'm glad that you are. I'm glad that other people have this ability now. But what was being talked about on Twitch earlier was everybody that got it early, basically the guinea pigs, to work out all of the kinks before it hits the masses, what, on Friday? I think it's the 19th?
Yeah, for anybody that didn't do the early release.
So some of it was there really any value in the early access? Because a lot of people are having problems with not the speed of download, but the server coming from College Football 25's end, EA Sports end. Like, the server was just overloaded.
I saw it was like 750,000 people at any one time were playing it yesterday. And it was one of those deals when you first got it at 4 o'clock, you could not go play online. So you got to tinker around and build a playbook, start your offline dynasty, whatever.
Right. Some people were talking about, hey, it's 4 hours worth of download because...
Oh, well, that's their slow internet. Come on.
Well, they said they were waiting on the server at EA Sports. I'm just giving you the reports of what's
fine.
Going
that's
on.
Fine. I'm not arguing
server
with that.
Server issues. So I guess I'm going to ask the question. When you play this game, is it housed somewhere else? Like the data of the game is housed somewhere else. What is on your... Can you have a closed system?
You can. More and more now, though, people are getting digital copies of the game. So you download the game onto your actual hardware.
Then
have to be on the internet to play it. Now, a lot of the fun features are online, but you don't... Once you've downloaded it, you have the game on your system and through your account if you were to put your account on another system in the future. So there's always a few little hiccups when you first get started. I actually thought, all things considered, it was pretty smooth. I mean, I was able to play online pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's one of those deals, too, where it can be as immersive as you want it to be. Like, John, you're not a video game guy. You didn't grow up playing these games. But I was telling you some of this stuff. And even Doug's kid, his kid's rebuilding one of the Sunbelt teams. Like, you can get in and you start recruiting and you can customize the visits. Like, I'm at Hawaii, so I can take him and look at the campus lifestyle. It's one of the few selling points we have at Hawaii. But it lets you want to build up your offensive line first, John. That's what you do. You hit the recruiting trail and you target the offensive line. You can make it as customized as you want. You can recycle the conferences. If you're a purist like Doug, you can make it so the old school Big Ten's back. You can put Texas and Oklahoma back in the Big 12 with Nebraska. You can resurrect the Pac-12 and play it out that way if you want. There's going to be the playoff. There's Heisman Trophy. All of it is built into the game. So it is one of those deals. If you love college football, they did it right.
Yeah.
And that's not saying it's perfect. I'm sure the more people dive into it, the glitches and the little issues will come up. But I've been impressed.
I am just curious. Are there any glitches in regards to, I mean, you mentioned that like screens aren't successful. Nobody really cares.
Right.
But is there anything else in regards to the operating of the controller of, hey, this is the first rollout, yeah, and by the time Friday comes around, they're going to have any of these. Like, you are literally the guinea pigs, yeah, of, is this going to operate? Because on Friday, if they were having server issues now, look out, because it's only going to multiply.
They're coming.
When the downloads and the users go up significantly.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen anything that's like a red flag at this point. And
The way it
always works, though, there will be people who play this game online religiously that'll find broken plays. They'll find three or four plays that work against any coverage, or if, you know, it's got routes for man and zone and no one can stop them. And like, then there's always a correction and people figure stuff out the more you play it.
Yeah.
But nothing where like your running back gets frozen and can't move, or like
the game freezes up and you got to start over and you lose all the data. It goes back to the beginning of the game.
There have been some football games that have been released where like you can't even kick the ball off because both teams like muddle huddle, and then the game just kind of goes up, error, and kicks, yeah, you. Nothing like that.
Okay.
Texter says, Cookies can't seem to get the read option down with the button change. Yeah, this is maybe too nerdy for people, but the read option is reversed now. You hold the button for the pull read instead of the give read.
Can we keep this to your social media accounts, please?
Okay. We don't need to turn this into that.
You are such a nerd.
This is, I think, a sports thing, and I think something our audience is eating up, whether they want to call it or not.
It's a gaming thing.
Okay, it's a big topic in some ways. Somebody not being able to run certain plays or figure it out
is irrelevant.
That's getting a little deep.
I read the text. I'm just reading what people send in. More on the ticket text, 248-539-9797. It says, recruiting is making me want to break virtual rules to bring in the better players. How do I get all the good players?
Well, can't you make your own rules? I mean, you're designing your own, yes, version of college football.
That's right. You go target those five-star players and bring them to Arkansas State. Whatever you
got
to do.
I got one random. Can you have scandals in this game?
No.
Oh, so you're running your program, everything's clean, and all of a sudden something you didn't even know about comes out of nowhere and starts to cause shambles, and you're in crisis management mode. That would be fantastic.
That would be. Listen, the more these games grow, I have no idea what they're capable of. All right, let's get to Heather with the news.
Is this a video game? You know how now people watch people playing video games?
Oh, I'm sure somebody's going to watch
somebody. Do people sit and watch somebody play this game?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. People are going to watch streamers play this game. Absolutely.
I don't understand that. I can get like you like to play. That's fun. Cool. Right. Play a video game. But I don't get the watching of somebody else playing a video game.
It's younger than me. That's, yep.
I don't get that one.
People love to watch.
Oh, come on, John.
Well, here's the news. An armed suspect is on the loose after allegedly robbing a hotel in Brighton early Monday morning. The employee at the Hampton Inn Suites reported the robbery right around 1:20 a.m. And they say the suspect allegedly walked into the hotel and went into the bathroom and then left and then came back a short time later and had a weapon with them, was wearing a mask, walked behind the front desk, opened the cash drawer, took the money, and left. Obviously, police arrived. They secured a perimeter, but they were not able to find him. They say it still remains under investigation. Did you guys hear a sonic boom yesterday?
No, I heard this news story, but I kept thinking I might hear something, but no.
I heard nothing. There was a message from Ohio National Guard's 180th Fighter Wing that warned that it was going to conduct this functional flight check sometime between 1:30 and 3:30 p.m. And that could have created this sonic boom, which is this really loud explosive noise caused by the shockwave from an aircraft traveling faster than the speed of sound. I didn't hear it, but I guess they did this testing last month. And residents in multiple areas of Southeast Michigan heard the boom, and some even said that their windows,
really?
were shaking, rattling, oh, wow, from it.
No, I'd love to hear it. I think it would be cool. Too. Yeah.
No, the only thing I heard were the storms in the night.
Oh, they woke me up again.
They interrupt your game?
I was asleep, John.
He was wide awake playing. Uh-huh, God, yes, shoot.
Yes, no, but it sounded like that someone knocked on a tree.
The power! Don't let the power go out! What am I going to do? I need a generator for my game!
Is that how I sound, John? Don't answer that.
I got to bring the story up one more time. Country singer Ingrid Andress. She just basically butchered the national anthem at the Home Run Derby last night, and her performance, I would say, is getting more attention than the actual event because it was just so bad. Here's a little snippet of it.
Oh, stop!
It's real bad. But see, to me, that still sounded better than what I just heard.
That was Tom and Cookies. Yeah,
okay.
That was Tom and Cookies.
I still think that's better than hers. People online are just ripping her apart. A lot of people are still comparing her to Fergie, which I think she was far worse than Fergie. And they're also comparing her to an SNL skit where Maya Rudolph sang the national anthem, which I don't know that one, but I'm guessing was pretty bad as well. Now, I did check out some of her actual music. She's four-time nominated Grammy artist, right?
Could have fooled me.
So I listened to some. She sounds great. And she looked great. And the video, you know, didn't sound anything like last night. Yes. That's the news. I'm out of time. Yep.
97.1. We have some ticket texts about the national anthem, and we have some theories.
Oh, conspiracy?
Yeah, you could say that.
Wow.
Texter says, my guess is she did it on purpose for publicity.
Gosh, I don't know about that.
Didn't you say she has a new song out?
Yes, it was the same day she released a new single.
We have another texter who says they saw her open for Keith Urban at Pine Knob, and she sounded really good live, so they are surprised. It's Larry in Royal Oak, lending more to the idea that this was
staged. I listened to one of her songs, and it sounded great. I know there's obviously it's auto-corrected a little bit as well, but it sounded very good. I liked it. She's a great singer.
So to recap, Grammy nominated four times. Mm-hmm. Sounds good when you play her music. Yep. Sounds good live, at least according to Larry in Royal Oak. And the new song hits at a time where everyone's going to be Googling her name because more people have heard that than watched the Home Run Derby.
Agreed. Oh,
sure, yeah. I mean,
do you buy the theory?
No, I don't think she threw it.
I don't either.
I think you're not going to go on national TV and sound like that on purpose.
And that lives on forever, right? That's on the internet. It's never going away.
But, okay. Now that someone said this, I'm taking it a little more seriously. Can we play the ending again? The way she stretches out free feels incredibly intentional and forced.
No.
Come on. Now, I'm not typically tinfoil guy, but that's extended like three times over with different inflection.
That's her style. That's her style. Yeah. She was planning on running that note or that word that long and trying to show off her voice.
And she failed at that.
Yeah.
I don't think she threw that on purpose.
No.
She just
that bad, huh?
I don't think she's that bad. Something must have was off.
It's
right?
Almost a compliment if I tell her that she threw it because that means that's not really who she is as an artist, but maybe it is because I thought that was when we played it to start the show today. And we did the comparison with like Carl Lewis and like people who aren't singers. They sounded better. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. Tom, do you buy this theory at all?
No, because I tend to not believe most conspiracy theories.
That's probably smart.
You know, one thing that does happen with these, especially now versus like when Carl Lewis did it, I'm not so sure. They do rehearsals, especially when it's like a professional singer. I'm having a tough time believing she rehearsed it this way.
There's no way that was the first time she's ever sang the national anthem.
Well, right,
as a singer,
right.
You've sung that song before. They,
typically, most singers, especially when you have a professional singer, not a guest, or like Carlos was a guest. He's not a singer. You make fun of it and stuff, but I don't know if he necessarily did his, but they come in early, and they usually a couple hours before the event, they're practicing this. And I just don't get how that could have gone. Like, she practiced that way, and not one person would say, maybe you do this.
Yeah, whenever I've been at games, and this happened, whether it was Houston for the national championship game, it was at the Rose Bowl, they do come out, and they practice the national anthem, and it is because they want to get a feel for the acoustics. Now, it all changes when people are in there, but they want to get a feel for, you know, listening to their earpiece, the feedback, all of that stuff before they actually perform. And so Doug and I have actually sat there before, listened to some of these versions of national anthems, and they'll do different parts, and then they'll always finish with the entire song. So, I mean, I don't know. And I did look up her dad, Brad Andrus, was, and I don't know if he still is, doesn't say where he's at right now, but 19 years of experience as a baseball coach specializing in strength and conditioning. He was at the University of Michigan. He was at with the New York Mets, the Colorado Rockies, and the Detroit Tigers.
When?
It doesn't,
doesn't say.
Yeah,
doesn't say.
Yeah. Yeah. And he doesn't have a Wikipedia page that I can find.
I've never heard anybody warm up the national anthem when I was working for the Tigers for 10 plus years. I never heard anyone go out onto the field and practice ever.
More people believe it. She's releasing a new single. Not that big. Only 24,000 followers on Twitter. Wouldn't be shocked if she bombed it for publicity.
Wait, what's it called? The single?
No, she's not that big. Has 24,000 followers on Twitter is what I said. Okay. I didn't give a name of her single. They said wouldn't be shocked if she bombed for publicity. Says she turned off her comments on her social media. See, I haven't done that.
Of course she
did. That's probably for the best. Social media, as we talked about a little yesterday.
Yeah.
not the best place.
Not a great place to be.
That's where you got to have somebody in your ear, or you got to have those people like her in your best interest. Like, somebody had to know she was going to go out there and sing it that way if she didn't rehearse.
What about how she looked? Because, Heather, you saw for the first time the visual.
Someone points out that she looks, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with how she looks.
No, I didn't think anything
like
that.
No, that was more King thought that she didn't look as put together as she does in like the music videos, right? But you're really done up for a music video.
Yeah.
Well, this, I thought she looked fine.
Don in Waterford said, look in her eyes. She looked completely wasted or on something else. Didn't look like she was all there, according to Don in Waterford.
That could be it.
Someone points out that people don't really know what they're listening to with live music. Texter says that 8 out of 10 people can't tell live performance from real life performance. You agree with that, John? You like going to see live music.
Oh, yeah.
I think you can totally, you can totally tell the difference.
Even if somebody is really good. Like, I was just at Stapleton and George Strait. I've been at Eric Church. I've been to a number, Luke Combs. I've been to a number of concerts. And I say those examples because she is a country singer.
Yeah.
And even with the phenomenal voice that Chris Stapleton is, you could tell the difference between live and recorded. He's amazing. And my wife and I looked at each other. We're like, hey, this... It's amazing how good he is live, because you do hear some of those variables when you're listening to live music. George Strait, no one better. But you could still tell a little bit of a difference between recorded and live. This,
sure.
I mean, it's clearly live.
Pretty obvious.
Yeah, you're not going to put that recording out.
Greg, can we play Carl Lewis? Because people are bringing up Carl Lewis. I think Carl Lewis did a better job than what we heard yesterday.
Carl Lewis is not a professional singer.
I know.
Let's start with that premise.
Which is even more damning. But this is, everybody points to Carl Lewis as one of the worst. Little humility. There we go. That's better. Nice freestyle a little bit. Infinitely better than hers. Agree? Yeah.
No one's giving him a recording contract. No.
But better than hers.
Yeah.
Well, and I like that he had some humility and he kind of had some fun with knowing that he's not a great singer. Yeah.
And we're not going to sit here and compare it to the greatest of all time. Right. I mean, and so we could sit here and have that debate of who sung the greatest national anthem. I think it was actually Stapleton. And it was phenomenal what he was able to do. But this is one of the biggest stages that Major League Baseball has. Tonight will be another one of them. It's the All-Star game. Now, is everybody tuning in to more people tuning into the All-Star game than the Home Run Derby? I don't know. Don't care.
Right.
The World Series. Like, those are some epic moments. Certainly more people were tuning in last night to the Home Run Derby than were tuning in to a lot of different regional broadcasts.
I don't want to gloss over something. I know you don't want to debate this. You think Stapleton the best? Because I think Whitney Houston is considered like the best rendition, right?
She was phenomenal. I lean different more style, towards, though. Yeah, different style. And I could listen to her national anthem all day long. I could listen to Stapleton's all day long. I just preferred his.
John in Utica, quick note on this. You're on 97.1.
I think her team abandoned her last night. They didn't help her with the auto tune, and she is just way over her skis when she comes to singing. Very pretty face. And look at Tom Cruise gave up the coronation of Charles III a couple years ago just to spend the weekend with her at the Miami Grand Prix. So I think she's way over her skis on this stuff, and she finally got figured out last night.
A lot of what she did, too, was try and put her own style into it. And we could talk about, I think I'm breaking news here, much more of a traditionalist. And I think that you should sing the national anthem a certain way.
We have some ticket techs about the national anthem. And we have some theories.
Oh, conspiracy?
Yeah, you could say that.
Wow.
Texter says, my guess is she did it on purpose for publicity.
Gosh, I don't know about that.
Didn't you say she has a new song out?
Yes, it was the same day she released a new single.
We have another texter who says they saw her open for Keith Urban at Pine Knob, and she sounded really good live, so they are surprised. It's Larry in Royal Oak, lending more to the idea that this was...
Well,
stage.
I listened to one of her songs and it sounded great. I know there's obviously it's auto-corrected a little bit as well, but it sounded very good. I liked it. She's a great singer.
So to recap, Grammy nominated 4 times. Mm-hmm. Sounds good when you play her music. Yep. Sounds good live, at least according to Larry in Royal Oak. And the new song hits at a time where everyone's going to be Googling her name because more people have heard that than watched the Home Run Derby.
Agreed. Oh,
sure, yeah. I mean,
do you buy the theory?
No, I don't think she threw it.
I don't either.
I mean, you're not going to go on national TV and sound like that on purpose.
And that lives on forever, right? That's on the internet. It's never going away.
But, okay, now that someone said this, I'm taking it a little more seriously. Can we play the ending again? The way she stretches out free feels incredibly intentional and forced.
No.
Come on. Now, I'm not typically tinfoil guy, but that's extended like 3 times
right,
over that, with
that's
different
her
inflection.
Style. That's her style. Yeah. She was planning on running that note or that word that long and trying to show off her voice.
And she failed at that.
Yeah.
I don't think she threw that on purpose.
No.
She just...
Just that bad, huh?
I don't think she's that bad. Something must have was off.
It's
right?
Almost a compliment if I tell her that she threw it, because that means that that's not really who she is as an artist. But maybe it is, because I thought that was when we played it to start the show today, and we did the comparison with like Carl Lewis and like people who aren't singers. They sounded better. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. Tom, do you buy this theory at all?
No, because I tend to not believe most conspiracy theories.
That's probably smart.
You know, one thing that does happen with these, especially now, versus like when Carl Lewis did it, I'm not so sure. They do rehearsals, especially when it's like a professional singer. I'm having a tough time believing she rehearsed it this way.
There's no way that was the first time she's ever sang the national anthem.
Well, right.
As a singer,
right.
You've sung that song before.
They, typically, most singers, especially when you have a professional singer, not a guest, or like Carl Lewis was a guest. He's not a singer. You make fun of it and stuff, but I don't know if he necessarily did his, but they come in early, and they usually a couple hours before the event, they're practicing this. And I just don't get how that could have gone. Like, she practiced that way, and not one person would say, maybe you do this.
Yeah, whenever I've been at games, and this happened, whether it was Houston for the national championship game, it was at the Rose Bowl, they do come out, and they practice the national anthem, and it is because they want to get a feel for the acoustics. Now, it all changes when people are in there, but they want to get a feel for, you know, listening to their earpiece, the feedback, all of that stuff before they actually perform. And so Doug and I have actually sat there before, listened to some of these versions of national anthems, and they'll do different parts, and then they'll always finish with the entire song. So, I mean, I don't know. And I did look up her dad, Brad Andrus, was... And I don't know if he still is. It doesn't say where he's at right now, but 19 years of experience as a baseball coach specializing in strength and conditioning. He was at the University of Michigan. He was at with the New York Mets, the Colorado Rockies, and the Detroit Tigers.
When?
It doesn't
say.
And he doesn't have a Wikipedia page that I can find.
I've never heard anybody warm up the national anthem when I was working for the Tigers for 10 plus years. I never heard anyone go out onto the field and practice ever.
More people believe it. She's releasing a new single. Not that big. Only 24,000 followers on Twitter. Wouldn't be shocked if she bombed it for publicity.
Wait, what's it called? The single?
No, she's not that big. Has 24,000 followers on Twitter is what I said. Okay. I didn't give a name of her single. They said wouldn't be shocked if she bombed for publicity. Says she turned off her comments on her social media. See, I haven't done that.
Of course she did.
But that's probably for the best, social media, as we talked about a little yesterday.
Yeah.
not the best place.
Not a great place to be.
That's where you got to have somebody in your ear, or you got to have those people like are in your best interest. Like, somebody had to know she was going to go out there and sing it that way if she didn't rehearse.
What about how she looked? Because, Heather, you saw for the first time the visual. Someone points
she
out
looks,
that
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with how she looks.
No, I didn't think anything
no,
like that.
No, that was more King thought that she didn't look as put together as she does in like the music videos, right? But you're really done up for a music video.
Yeah.
Well, this, I thought she looked fine.
Don in Waterford said, look in her eyes. She looked completely wasted or on something else. Didn't look like she was all there, according
maybe
to Don in Waterford.
That could be it.
Someone points out that people don't really know what they're listening to with live music. Texter says that 8 out of 10 people can't tell live performance from real life performance. You agree with that, John? You like going to see live music.
Oh, yeah.
I think
you can totally tell the difference. Even if somebody is really good. Like, I was just at Stapleton and George Strait. I've been at Eric Church. I've been to a number, Luke Combs. I've been to a number of concerts. And I say those examples because she is a country singer.
Yeah.
And even with the phenomenal voice that Chris Stapleton is, you could tell the difference between live and recorded. He's amazing. And my wife and I looked at each other, we're like, hey, it's amazing how good he is live, because you do hear some of those variables when you're listening to live music. George Strait, no one better. But you could still tell a little bit of a difference between recorded and live. This,
sure.
I mean, it was... It's clearly live.
Pretty obvious.
Yeah, you're not going to put that recording out.
Greg, can we play Carl Lewis? Because people are bringing up Carl Lewis. I think Carl Lewis did a better job than what we heard yesterday.
Carl Lewis is not a professional singer.
I know.
Let's start with that premise.
Which is even more damning. But this is, everybody points to Carl Lewis as one of the worst. A little humility. There we go. That's better. Nice freestyle a little bit. Infinitely better than hers. Agree? Yeah.
No one's giving him a recording contract.
No. But much better than hers.
Yeah.
Well, and I like that he had some humility and he kind of had some fun with knowing that he's not a great singer. Yeah.
And we're not going to sit here and compare it to the greatest of all time. Right. I mean, and so we could sit here and have that debate of who sung the greatest national anthem. I think it was actually Stapleton. And it was phenomenal what he was able to do. But this is one of the biggest stages that Major League Baseball has. Tonight will be another one of them. It's the All-Star Game. Now, is everybody tuning in to – more people tuning into the All-Star Game than the Home Run Derby? I don't know. Don't care.
Right.
The World Series. Like, those are some epic moments. Certainly more people were tuning in last night to the Home Run Derby than were tuning in to a lot of different regional broadcasts.
I don't want to gloss over something. I know you don't want to debate this. You think Stapleton the best? Because I think Whitney Houston is considered like the best rendition, right?
She was phenomenal. I lean more towards a different style. And I could listen to her national anthem all day long. I could listen to Stapleton's all day long. I just preferred his.
John in Utica, quick note on this. You're on 97.1.
I think her team abandoned her last night. They didn't help her with the auto tune, and she is just way over her skis when she comes to singing. Very pretty face. And look at Tom Cruise gave up the coronation of Charles III a couple years ago just to spend the weekend with her at the Miami Grand Prix. So I think she's way over her skis on this stuff, and she finally got figured out last night.
Well, a lot of what she did, too, was try and put her own style into it. And we could talk about, I think I'm breaking news here, much more of a traditionalist, and I think that you should sing the national anthem a certain way. But when you have individuals that try and do certain things with the national anthem, to me, it just doesn't go over well. She tried to put her style on it, and it didn't go over well.
Clearly. We were better.
I think so.
Let's make sure we clarify. When you say we...
You're not in this?
I am not a part of that.
Hold on. We could harmonize you in. I'll give you a countdown. 3, 2, 1.
That was Jim Costa and Tom Milliken. No way was I a part of that. So be careful when you say we, because we know we have that drop. Who is we? We know who we is.
We are a team. This is us.
And you're going to hear that anytime like somebody offers something free, whether it be tickets or wings at a restaurant and some read or something.
Like a holiday.
They're going to be what? Yep.
They are going to be. All right, 97.1.
Hey, why not dive into the best pool in history? That's Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. You can chill in one of the 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of the massive 40-foot-tall, high-definition screen. That's Stadium Swim. It's America's favorite place to watch your football games, baseball, home run derby, whatever you want. They've got swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
National Anthem ticket text. You want some of them?
Yeah, let's go.
Here we go. The question was, did she take a dive? Was it on purpose? I'm not normally a conspiracy person, but it kind of adds up.
No.
No.
Texter says, listen to T-Pain's rendition. It was amazing. And no, he didn't use auto-tune.
T-Pain? Oh. Okay.
He's actually a pretty good singer. He was on The Masked Singer. I don't know if you guys watched... No. That, anyway, he's pretty good. Ticket texter says Whitney Houston.
T-Pain, though.
Okay, you've heard of T-Pain.
Yeah, I don't think John did, but that's okay.
Wait, you?
He's bringing the pain.
You don't know who T-Pain is?
It's not the genre.
I know
genre
it's not the genre, but like,
I
don't even know that you have to.
I know. That's okay. He'll find out.
So things I've learned about John Jansen today that he doesn't know who T-Pain is, and that he stands for the national anthem even when he's not at the game.
Always, every time,
never with exception.
Mm-hmm. We need to do like athlete or rapper, like Kendrick Lamar.
Athlete,
you know,
rapper.
He's a rapper.
Okay,
yeah,
good job.
I just looked up T-Pain. One of the top songs that came up is "Booty Work." And work is spelled W-U-R-K.
All right, the next ticket text. Whitney Houston, best national anthem ever. Jennifer Hudson getting some love for the best national anthem ever. I know we didn't even ask for this. Jimi Hendrix, best rendition of the Star-Spangled Banner.
Yeah, tremendous, yes.
Whitney 1A, Stapleton 1B.
I did get the all caps Whitney Houston from my wife. She did not agree with me. Yeah, that I am in the Stapleton band of this group here, but she obviously is in the Whitney Houston side of things.
More on the conspiracy theory from last night's Home Run Derby awful national anthem. Hey guys, was there an over or an under on the national anthem last night? Paul in New Haven. I don't think so. Maybe somebody. Got a read coming up. This one says, anthem singer always practices at LCA about 15 minutes before the doors open. So it is common practice to, you know, maybe get your bearings before you walk out on national television.
I've never heard anyone, ever, unless I just wasn't listening. Warm up, like out on the field, like in this, at Comerica Park.
Like to test the
I'm
sound.
I'm sure they warm up, yes, but like I've never heard them.
It at Ford Field.
I guess I wasn't paying attention.
And I heard it a bunch when I was playing, too. They would come out when I would be, you know, sitting there, and I'd get a chance to hear whoever's singing.
I was there hours early.
Yeah. I know the Pistons did it every single game.
Oh, I'm not
game.
Saying you weren't there on time.
It was always so early. I'm sure they did. Maybe I just missed it. I was busy doing something else.
Maybe it's an inside-outside stadium thing. I don't know. I'm just thinking on the fly here.
Because they have to bring all the cords out, the mic out there, and then they got to take it all back. I don't think they have to do that at anywhere, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah. Who cares?
We did get one ticket text that I wanted to read that was funny. We were talking a little college football earlier. One guy said, John, you should give it a try. He's 58 and thinks you should give it a try. This one is funny, though. It says, I have
a try.
The college football video game.
Oh, no, thanks.
Ticket texter says, I have one virtual question for the virtual Hawaii coach. Do you think you're doing a good job? AJ, Friday this week?
Tigers
are doing a much better job. They've won 8 of the last 10. It should be a fun interview. Scooble tonight on the bump. Won't start the game, but what do we think? He could be the first pitcher.
He's got to be the next one
bullpen,
right? I would think so.
Second inning?
Yeah.
And Riley Green will come off the bench later in the game. Two All-Stars for the Tigers. What's your interest level? I know the Home Run Derby, it doesn't really do it for me. The All-Star game, I'm curious because there's two Tigers in it, but what's your interest level tonight?
The Home Run Derby didn't. You don't like the Home Run Derby?
That's fine. Is this like a shock to you?
Oh, I it just
did you think it was like riveting television that everybody like
no
makes
no
a
no
time
I
for?
Mean the field was sold out and people were loving it.
Well, it was a big deal when it was here. I mean,
sure.
Bobby Abreu,
Jack, and I and Teddy, we all sat there and watched it. It was fun. I think that is more entertaining than the actual All-Star game itself.
You think it? The Home Run Derby drags on a little bit for me. Do you agree with that?
Well, the like new rules hours. That they have, and I mean, I did not watch the whole thing, so yes.
Oh, I was up at the very end. I had Bobby Witt in the final. I needed
well,
it.
Well, yeah, you had something else that was occupying your time. Was it on the screen next to you as you're playing your video games?
I was done playing the video games at that point.
But I do like the fact that hey, they have, you know, 3 minutes, 40 pitches. There's a timeout in the middle. You get a chance to see some absolute moonshots and watching their swings and how effortless they are and how far that ball goes off of wood bats. Because I see a lot of the aluminum bats now because that's what Jack is using. And I see some of these kids and they swing and you know the ball goes a lot farther than you think it's going to go. But with wood bats and just what they do, it's just for me, it's so much fun to watch.
You got to muscle it. I mean, it's a lot harder with the wood bat. Not the ping, ping.
Well, yeah, but it didn't look like these guys, because their swing is so sweet, that it didn't look like they were muscling it.
National Anthem ticket text. You want some of them?
Yeah, let's go.
Here we go. The question was, did she take a dive? Was it on purpose? I'm not normally a conspiracy person, but it kind of adds up.
No.
No.
Texter says, listen to T-Pain's rendition. It was amazing. And no, he didn't use auto-tune.
T-Pain? Oh. Okay.
He's actually a pretty good singer. He was on The Masked Singer. I don't know if you guys watched that. Anyway, he's pretty good. Ticket Texter says, Whitney Houston.
T-Pain, though.
Okay. You've heard of T-Pain?
Yeah, I don't think John did, but that's okay.
Wait,
he's bringing the pain?
You don't know who T-Pain is?
It's not hit the genre.
I know
genre
it's not the genre, but like,
I
don't even know that you have to.
I know. That's okay. He'll Google. He'll find out.
So things
Google
I've it. Learned. Things I've learned about John. Things I've learned about John Jansen today, that he doesn't know who T-Pain is, and that he stands for the national anthem even when he's not at the game.
Always, every time.
Never with exception.
Mm-hmm. We need to do like athlete or rapper. Like Kendrick Lamar.
Athlete
do you
or
know?
Rapper.
He's a rapper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good job,
I just looked up T-Pain. One of the top songs that came up is Booty Work. And work is spelled W-U-R-K.
All right, the next ticket text. Whitney Houston, best national anthem ever. Jennifer Hudson getting some love for the best national anthem ever. I know we didn't even ask for this. Jimi Hendrix, best rendition of the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah, tremendous, yes.
Whitney 1A, Stapleton 1B.
I did get the all caps Whitney Houston from my wife. She did not agree with me. Yeah, that I am in the Stapleton band of this group here, but she obviously is in the Whitney Houston side of things.
More on the conspiracy theory from last night's Home Run Derby, awful national anthem. Hey guys, was there an over or an under on the national anthem last night? Paul in New Haven. I don't think so. Maybe somebody. Got a read coming up. This one says, anthem singer always practices at LCA about 15 minutes before the doors open. So it is common practice to, you know, maybe get your bearings before you walk out on national television.
I've never heard anyone, ever, unless I just wasn't listening. Warm up, like out on the field, like in this, Echo Merrick Park.
Like to test the
I'm
sound.
I'm sure they warm up, yes, but like I've never heard them.
It at Ford Field.
I guess I wasn't paying attention.
A bunch when I was playing too. They would come out when I would be, you know, sitting there, and I get a chance to hear whoever's singing.
I was there hours early.
Yeah,
I know the Pistons did it every single.
Oh, I'm not
game.
Saying you weren't there on time.
It was always so early. I'm sure they did. Maybe I just missed it. I was busy doing something else.
Maybe it's an inside and outside stadium thing. I don't know. I'm just thinking on the fly here.
Because they have to bring all the cords out, the mic out there, and then they got to take it all back. I don't think they have to do that at anywhere. I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who cares?
We did get one ticket text that I wanted to read that was funny. We were talking a little college football earlier. One guy said, John, you should give it a try. He's 58 and thinks you should give it a try. This one is funny, though. It says, I have
what a try.
The college football video game.
Oh, no, thanks.
Ticket texter says, I have one virtual question for the virtual Hawaii coach. Do you think you're doing a good job? AJ, Friday this week?
Tigers
are doing a much better job. They've won 8 of the last 10. It should be a fun interview. Scooble tonight on the bump. Won't start the game, but what do we think? He could be the first pitcher.
He's got to be the next one
bullpen,
in,
right?
I would think so.
Second inning?
Yeah.
And Riley Green will come off the bench later in the game. Two All-Stars for the Tigers. What's your interest level? I know the Home Run Derby, it doesn't really do it for me. The All-Star game, I'm curious because there's two Tigers in it, but what's your interest level tonight?
The Home Run Derby didn't... You don't like the Home Run Derby?
That's fine. Is this like a shock to you?
Oh, it just
did you think it was like riveting television that everybody like
no.
Time
I mean,
for?
The field was sold out and people were loving it.
Well, it was a big deal when it was here. I mean,
sure.
06, and I mean, Abreu,
Jack, and I and Teddy, we all sat there and watched it. It was fun. I think that is more entertaining than the actual All-Star game itself.
You think it? The Home Run Derby drags on a little bit for me. Do you agree with that?
Well, the new rules that they have, and I mean, I did not watch the whole thing, so yes.
Oh, I was up at the very end. I had Bobby Witt in the final. I needed it.
Well, yeah, you had something else that was occupying your time. Was it on the screen next to you as you're playing your video games?
I was done playing the video games at that point.
But I do like the fact that hey, they have, you know, 3 minutes, 40 pitches. There's a timeout in the middle. You get a chance to see some absolute moonshots and watching their swings and how effortless they are and how far that ball goes off of wood bats. Because I see a lot of the aluminum bats now because that's what Jack is using. And I see some of these kids and they swing and you know, the ball goes a lot farther than you think it's going to go. But with wood bats and just what they do, it's just, for me, it's so much fun to watch.
You got to muscle it. I mean, it's a lot harder with the wood bat. Not the ping, ping.
Well, yeah, but it didn't look like these guys, because their swing is so sweet, that it didn't look like they were muscling it.